Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Cory Booker's, and you didn't comment on him, and you feel free.
I adore him.
What do you think about him saying, kick them in the shins, essentially, start to get to that kind of political...
Well, that was Eric Holder.
Eric Holder,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know they all look alike.
No, they don't. Oh, well done.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hi, everybody. This is Eugenie Bondurant. I play Tigress in The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2, and you're listening to The Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1...
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. My name is Will Koontz. Yes, it's me again. Who else would it be? It's 6 o'clock. It's Sunday. Or it's just, you know, the internet, and you're listening to this at any time, and you clicked on this link or podcast button on your phone. Who else would it be? Yes, it's me. Welcome to the show, folks. Oh, my gosh. What a week it's been. Just bad news. More bad news. Yes, more bad news. Hillary Clinton. Oh, my God, Hillary Clinton. That clip at the beginning was Hillary Clinton at some event thing where she was interviewed for something, being a, I don't know, politician, and people paid to go listen to her speak for some reason, and there's talk of her maybe running for president in 2020 again, and she wants to be president. Yeah, we know. We desperately know. But you'll see what happens. But yeah, she made a comment that, geez, oh man, the lady, the reporter, mistook Cory Booker for Eric Holder, and she laid down a great deadpan joke there. First of all, can we give it up? Wow, I always thought that this lady had no sense of humor. Boy, did she prove me wrong. Perfect timing, perfect deadpan delivery. She nailed it. She nailed the joke. It was funny. The people had a visceral reaction. They laughed. So what's the problem? Well, they mentioned, you know, all black people look alike, and that's a stereotype, and it's, geez. Clearly nobody thinks that, especially Hillary Clinton of all people. Good God, man. But people went on a rampage, you know, right-wing news outlets went ahead and condemned her for her racist comment. Clearly she wasn't serious, guys. I know the motive there, because they do it to you. I get it. I completely 100% get it. You guys can't make jokes because they will throw you under the bus for it. Oh, my God, can you imagine if Rush Limbaugh said that, or any right-leaning politician, right-wing politician, they would call for his head on a silver platter. He'd be done, finito, finished. Absolutely, and I totally understand the urge to attack, because that's where we're at now. We don't, there's no room for context anymore. There's wielding this oppression narrative to gain power that is just rampant in our culture now. I totally understand. I know the drive to do it. I get it. But we have to, you got to be better. And I know some people don't take that that train of thought. I get it. And I know why. And it's hard for me to disagree sometimes. But just as a guy who likes jokes, I mean, I want to be able to make those jokes. And I want to hear people make those jokes. I feel like comedy is just going to devolve into, like, what are you going to be able to joke about? If not, you know, people, or, you know, culture. It's just going to be poo-poo jokes and fart jokes, which I love those, too. Those are great. They still make me laugh at 30, going to be 34 years old this month. Hilarious. But there's so much depth that comedy can cover and go into. And the culture just doesn't allow for it anymore. And that's why the culture stinks now, the comedy culture. And I don't know when it's going to get better. God, I hope soon. Maybe if the Democrats win back power, it'll get better. Man, I hope so. I'm almost willing to sacrifice all that. Just here, you guys take it and you all run it into the ground. Because we've done their side's done a pretty good job. Now it's your turn. You go ahead and steer this ship right to the bottom of the ocean, as far as I'm concerned. It is absolutely intense out there, boy. So clearly, she was making the joke. I'm just so happy that she's not a... I was shocked to hear it. I thought she was just a robot. I guess she's finally out of campaign mode for a little bit. Now she's kicking back from the sidelines, you know, watching a little bit. She'd kick off her shoes and relax. But, yeah, clearly she's just mocking the reporter for, you know, miscategorizing, misidentifying another person for somebody else. And use that old, it's not a stereotype, what's it called? It's just like a, it's just a joke, right? I don't know, she just threw that joke in there. There's got to be a word for it, I don't know what it is. If you know what it is, scold me and tell me what it is. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com. Get me on Twitter, home_made_man, same with Instagram. And yeah, let me know what the hell I'm actually talking about here. The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by Truvy Salon and Spa. That's right. Chrissy Parker down there doing great things with your hair. And the Botox lady stops in once a month. So it's your one-stop shop, really. You can get a haircut. You can get your face paralyzed with poison. And it'll make you look gorgeous. I mean, it's totally worth it. It's not... You know, I guess it's not enough to kill you or anything. Like, they have it under control, so they know how much to give you. So there's really no risk involved, and it just works. It just paralyzes some of your face muscles, gets rid of those wrinkles, those pesky crow's feet and smile lines and all that. And, I mean, you can get it wherever you want. Just shoot it right into your body at will. But make sure a trained professional does it. Don't try to do it yourself, okay? I'm pretty sure you'll get some sort of terrorism charge if you try to acquire Botox. They're licensed and insured. It's just better this way. So reach out, Truvy Salon and Spa. It's T-R-U-V as in victory, Y, Salon and Spa.com. And make an appointment today, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. And, of course, my little outfit, Homemade Podcasts, with an S, homemadepodcast.com. If you are interested in learning how to podcast, if you need some advice on equipment, RSS feeds, anything. I'm your man. I know how to do it. I'm doing it right now. I'm speaking to you through the medium. So I'm your guy. You can get a hold of me at 813-693-2124 if you leave a voicemail or message or whatever. I'll be able to call you back. And there's a contact form right on homemadepodcasts.com. So if you're an individual or you're a business that would like to create some sort of audio content podcast to promote your business and reach new and existing clientele, I'm your man. Check out homemadepodcasts.com. If you're a business owner and you'd like to do some advertising on a new media form platform, well, why not advertise on this podcast, The Homemade Broadcast, heard on Radio St. Pete, TampaBayPodcast.com. 10,000 unique visitors a month for Radio St. Pete. Give me a shout. Let's work together. The Homemade Broadcast at Radio St. Pete. That's Radio STPETE. com.
You're listening to The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.
And the cards finally fell for our buddy Jameis Winston of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Finally happened. That's right. After a loss to the Bengals, threw four interceptions in that game. I think he had a fumble as well. I think they had six total turnovers in that loss against the Cincinnati Bengals last week. He's pulled. That's it. Let's hear Dirk Cutter with the announcement.
Yeah, we're going to start Fitz at quarterback this week, and that feels what we feel like we need to do this week to give ourselves the best chance.
You see, this week, is this a week-to-week decision for you at the quarterback position now?
Well, it's just for right now. You know, right now, I mean, the most important thing we got is this week. So, you know, we'll just have to see how things go. I mean, I don't like switching quarterbacks. That's not it's not in my makeup to switch quarterbacks, but we just feel like we got to make the switch at this time.
Yeah, and there it is. He did not play well. He hasn't played great. He played okay, I suppose, but somebody posted, I think it was Kyle from the Word of the Bay podcast, posted Jameis's numbers in the first few years versus our buddy, gosh, I can't even remember, Josh Freeman. Josh Freeman, first-round pick, and was kind of had the same sort of numbers that Jameis has had so far. And look where Josh Freeman is now. He was trying to make a Canadian football team and couldn't manage to do that. Not saying that's going to happen to Jameis, of course. I think Jameis is probably a more talented quarterback. But, man, it just didn't work out for him in the past few weeks. And I think it just has to do with, I think he just, you know, when you want something so bad and you keep psyching yourself up and you just keep saying, oh, man, don't screw up. This is too big. You know, he missed the first three games with the suspension. And Ryan Fitzpatrick came out, won the first two games of that suspension, and lost a close one to the Steelers on Monday Night Football. I mean, it was close. Ryan Fitzpatrick didn't play that great either in that game. And then they had the bye week, and they decided to go with Jameis after that. Oh, wait, did Ryan Fitzpatrick play that fourth game? I can't remember. I think he might have because it was a short week. But then, yeah, Jameis came back after the bye week and lost to the Falcons and barely squeaked one out versus the Browns the week before. And the Browns are not a good football team. I mean, I think we can all agree. They're an up-and-coming team for sure. They just fired their head coach and their offensive coordinator and their cleaning house. So they just managed to beat them barely in overtime with that freaking kicker kicking the 59-yarder, 57-yarder, whatever it was. And was it in overtime or was it fourth quarter? I can't remember. But he kicked the field goal. I was pretty drunk watching it in a pool when I watched it. So I was kind of in and out. But, yeah, so then he goes out and, you know, you're, what was he, 3-4 now or something? And they're playing for to get back to 500. And I didn't think they were going to beat the Bengals. I had a bad feeling about it. You're in Cincinnati. You're I just don't feel like they got it now with Jameis in there. With Fitz, the team plays different, and you can watch it. I mean, I'm kind of a novice. I've been watching football all my life, but I don't know the ins and outs of it. But you could see the difference when Fitzpatrick was in there versus when Jameis was in there. And I don't know if it's just him overthrowing dudes and it just looks sloppier, but it just feels like the team plays better. Even feel like the offensive line was more cohesive and was giving him the protection he needed. Not saying that they're going to, you know, intentionally play worse. I don't think that's the case. But I think Fitzpatrick just gives them more confidence. They feel more confident with him in there. And they almost came back and won that game versus Cincinnati. It was really close. You know, defense didn't get it done. Right now, I think the Buccaneers are on pace to be one of the worst defenses of all time. They fired Mike Smith a few weeks ago, but they just don't have the people. They don't have the players. They don't have the quality of player to get it done. They've had so many injuries go down. Now I saw MJ Stewart, the nickel corner, went down. So he's going to be out for a few weeks, and they're just bringing in these dudes off the street pretty much to play, you know, to play in these games. And I guess this Duffner dude just kind of made the defense simpler for them, is what he had to do, because they just doesn't have the personnel to pull off these, weird plays and just intensive. You know, you got to do special things. You just don't have the personnel to pull this stuff off. And when you're giving away, you know, 5 or 6 turnovers a game, 4, I think it was a previous, you're just not going to win football games, and even a novice like me knows that. So, I mean, the offense is keeping them in these games, at least. Even with Jameis in there, they were doing pretty good, but they seem to be playing much better when Ryan Fitzpatrick is in there. I know this is a tough call for the Bucs, man. What do you do? You got this kid that you invested all this time in, and, you know, ownership loves this dude, and He's coming up on his fifth-year option, which means the team has to pay him the $20 million that quarterbacks get now. And then you got to think about signing this dude long-term. That's $20 million a year for, you know, 5-6 years now. And, you know, you're talking about a $100 million deal as a team want to invest in a guy who just can't seem to get over that hump. He seems like he just regresses every week and gets worse. So, I mean, what do you do? I don't know. Maybe he needs to go see a sports psychologist or something. That was like when Aguayo was here, that kicker they drafted really high. All that pressure, you know, Tampa Bay has just had terrible, terrible luck with kickers the past few years. Ever since they got rid of Matt Bryant, they haven't had a kicker that could do the job. It's just been a constant struggle trying to find somebody to take this job. And you got all this pressure. I mean, kickers aren't drafted in the second round ever. And then you got this kid, and they just throw him out there. You couldn't handle it. You couldn't handle the pressure. Pressure was too much for him. And a kicker has got to be the sweetest job in the NFL. You get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to just go in 3 or 4 times a game, never get hit, just kick a ball. There's a lot of pressure in that, sure, but, you know, you either got it or you don't. I don't understand. This kid was good in college. He knew how to kick a football. What changed? And it's just all mental, and I think a lot of it is the same thing with Jameis. He just feels that pressure to succeed, and he can't get it done. So maybe he does need a change of pace. I don't know. I mean, you can't trade him. I guess it's the trade deadline went past. They didn't trade anybody or look into it. I don't know if they looked into, is that something you could pull off last minute like that, where you just trade your franchise quarterback that last minute? Probably not. So, I mean, I don't know. But Fitzmagic is the starter for the time being going into Carolina today. And you know what? I'm going to say, I'm recording this earlier in the week, but I'm going to say the Bucs win this game. I think they beat Carolina in Carolina. And I'm going to say the final was 28-31. No, sorry. Let's make it higher because the Bucs defense sucks. Let's say 34-37. I'll take the Buccaneers on that one. So that'll be, you know, where do you go from there? You want to make the playoffs, right? This is not just a down season. This is not a Jameis learning season. This is, you got to win now. Dirk Cutter's job's on it. Jason Light, the GM's job is on the line right now. They got to win now. So, but if they start, you know, flailing, and even with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and say what you will about Ryan Fitzpatrick and the great job he's done here, but he has a history of squandering this opportunity where he, there's a meme going around. I posted on my Twitter, home_made_man. And it's the cycle of Ryan Fitzpatrick, which is, you get signed as a backup, your starter gets hurt. You play good enough to unseat that starter. He comes in the game as a backup, unseats that starter, gets paid to be a starter, signs a contract, and then sucks, gets released, and then the saga starts all over again. And that's the way it's been. Look at his whole, what has he been in the league now? Over a decade, that's been his MO. But, I mean, I don't want to wish that on him. I want him to see him do very well. I want to see, God, I'd love to see Tampa Bay make the playoffs for a change. It's been a long time of misery and grief, and I would love to see it. So hopefully he does very well. I'm going to say he beats Carolina today. He did beat Carolina today. I am recording this earlier in the week, so I don't know what the exact score was. But I'm going to say they won today. I'm pretty confident. So what do you think? Are you a fan of this move? Do you hate it? Do you love it? Are you all on the Fitzmagic train? 813-693-2124. Is the voicemail and text line here. You can get a hold of me there or at hmbradio.com or send me a tweet, home_made_man. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast if you have not already. Just search HMB Radio Tampa Bay. While you're there, leave a quick 5-star review. Hey, good podcast. Push the send button. It only takes a second. Really helps me out, and I do appreciate it. Be sure to follow Radio St. Pete as well. Radio STPE. T-E on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and RadioSaintPete.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
This week on Stay Woke, we got into Halloween costumes. Yeah, because it was a big topic of conversation. What you are allowed to wear and things that you are not allowed to wear. And the people who make up these rules and people who are offended by certain Halloween costumes. And what offense even means. We talked about it. On Stay Woke. Stay Woke is a show heard on 102.5 The Bone at midnight here locally in Tampa Bay at theboneonline.com. Or you can get the 102.5 The Bone app and you can get the show Stay Woke on demand, plays on a loop for 24 hours from the previous day. You can get that and get all the other Bone shows, Mike Calta, Drew Garabo, Roger and JP, Johnny B's show, Soul Brother Kevin's show. They're all on that app, and you should check it out. Some of the finest talk radio the country has to offer, in my opinion. Perhaps I'm a little biased. I don't know, but I truly believe that. So let's check it out. This week on Stay Woke, Halloween and offense.
Now, seeing it as how it is Halloween, and seeing as how we're in this climate of everybody is offended by everyone and everyone hates everyone, it makes Halloween a little bit more difficult, I would say.
Yeah, I would say so. It's everything. You can't do any. You can't dress up as anything
you
now.
You cannot dress up as anything.
I told you my theory on this, right? That if you're going to dress up for Halloween, it should be something scary.
Right.
It should be a vampire or a zombie, Frankenstein.
If you want it to be.
No, a ghost, a scary ghost. It's the day of, it's celebrating the dead, right? That's what Halloween is. It's not to dress up like a rainbow. It's just dress up
but
day.
But can't
it's not
holidays evolve? Day. Like, why can't holidays evolve? Why do we have to be so archaic about the origin of the holiday?
Because it's just not, it's like having, doing an Easter egg hunt on Christmas. It's just, it's not affiliated.
Yeah, but Christmas isn't even on Christmas. Like, Christ was born, like, in the fall, man.
Christmas is on December 25th. What are you talking about?
I understand, but, like, it's the birth of Christ.
No, it's not. It's Santa Claus Day.
Okay,
we went over this, too.
Okay, all right.
It has nothing to do with Jesus Christmas.
It's called Christmas.
Nope. It's Santa Claus Day.
All right.
That's what we call it. But they should be scary. You don't need to be dressing up like, you know, I don't know, whatever the hell.
You don't want them to be dressed as like a slutty nurse or a slutty construction worker.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. You can be a slutty nurse, but you put in some vampire fangs and a little blood coming out of your
head.
And there you go. That works.
You can do whatever you want. Or can you?
Nope.
It says here, cultural appropriation turns Halloween into a nightmare. So I know we had the whole situation with Megyn Kelly and the blackface, but it goes way deeper than that. It gets real, real slippery slope. And I'm just going to play a little bit of this video here for you, kind of explaining the controversy and what's going on.
...or Moana without being accused of cultural appropriation or racism. He continues, quote...
Okay, this is horrible. I'm so sorry. That was bad. I thought it was going to be a little bit better than that. So basically it's saying, you know, obviously blackface is probably something you should avoid, I would say, especially right now. But what about if you want to be a Mexican bandit?
Yeah.
Can you be a Mexican bandit?
Uh-huh.
Is it that you can only be a Mexican bandit if you are, in fact, Mexican or kind of close? Like, I don't know. El Salvadorian? Guatemalan?
I don't know.
Puerto
that's
Rican?
That's a good question. I think that's a fair question. Now, isn't there a difference, too, in your mind, as far as the blackface thing goes? That blackface is kind of the vaudeville where they put chalked it in with coal and made the lips that were big.
Yeah,
you know?
To me it's like blackface, but it's blackface with like vitiligo. Like they wouldn't do the mouth. Like around the mouth it'd be white, you know. It was really bad blackface, I'd
but
say.
But isn't that like I think that's different than just using some makeup to bronze your skin to make it a little darker for a costume if you want to be Beyonce or something.
Yes and no. Like, listen, I understand what you're saying. I think it's obviously if you're dressing up like Diana Ross and you're in like you have some brown foundation on to kind of darken your complexion, that's obviously not the same exact thing as doing blackface like they did it in the, I don't know, what, 30s and 40s where they were mocking black people. Obviously not the same. But because there's such a huge gray area, I wouldn't even touch it. Do I find it offensive? No. I've never been offended ever by anything that a stranger has done. I think that's the difference between you and I and a lot of other people. I've only been offended by people who've made personal attacks on me, number one, and number two, people that know me and have hurt me. That's when I get offended.
Yeah, but you know, I feel like it's not people that see something and are offended. I feel like it's people see something and get offended for other people, even though they may not be, but they see that as, oh my gosh, that's offensive. We can't have this.
Yeah. What do you call it? It's a virtue signaling, right?
Yeah, I get. Yeah. I guess,
I'm a more noble, virtuous person and I'm going to be offended on behalf of other people.
Right.
But I also feel like it's the people who belong to that ethnic group that get offended as well. It's both. But I was listening to, I don't know if it was Breakfast Club or something, but they were talking about Jamie Foxx, and Jamie Foxx thought that, like, Robert Downey Jr. doing the blackface in Tropic Thunder, that he thought that was hilarious.
It was hilarious.
Yeah. So,
objectively hilarious.
Sure. So I want to hear from people who get offended by this sort of thing, or maybe they know people who get offended by that sort of thing. And how do you talk people down from that platform of being offended by everything and anything? I've never been that kind of person. Again, I've only been offended by things that someone close to, first of all, they have to be close to me, because then they know what hurts me. And not only do they know what hurts me, but they're trying to hurt my feelings.
Yeah, they have to know your insecurities,
right.
That's a
absolutely
whole other level. That's knowing someone on an intimate level.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, if someone calls you fat or something like that, that doesn't bother me.
That may hurt my feelings, but that won't offend me. I feel like there's a difference. Is there a difference? Yeah, of course. Because you can have your feelings hurt but not be offended. But
what
I feel
offended
like,
feel like?
Offended is like it cuts deeper.
Where
for
like
me.
I guess it would be dehumanizes you a little bit, makes you feel less of a person than that other person that called you that.
Yeah, like I'll be really honest here. The last time I was offended, like deeply, like it was hurt and offended because this person, I had disclosed a lot of information to this person about my insecurities, and they used that as an insult against me. It was my roommate about 5 years ago when I was in Detroit. I was living with this Indian dude who was in my cohort, and we were like best of friends for like the first year we lived together. And then the second year, everything completely unraveled. And I had told him that, you know, I was really surprised that I got into graduate school. If I'm being perfectly honest, I was not as diligent as I am now. Mm-hmm. I took 3 years off from undergrad to grad school, and I did almost nothing in that interim. Like, I didn't really, you know, I wasn't doing any sort of, like, fellowships. I wasn't doing any sort of projects. I wasn't working with any grad students. I was literally, I was dicking around in Australia and in Southeast Asia, just drinking and having fun with my buddies. Like, that's what I was doing those 3 years.
Yeah.
And it was great, and I don't regret any of it. But when I applied to grad school, most of the places, I did not get in, but I got into this program that was an excellent fit for me. So when I went there, all the other kids were either straight out of their master's program, about to get a PhD, or right out of undergrad. So I was really rusty with a lot of stuff, and it was obvious, because I wasn't really well read in everything I should have been, and I was very insecure about that. And at that point in my life, I liked to party a lot, and I just really wasn't focused. And also, I just didn't really like what I was doing, so it was hard for me to be engaged in a diligent student. And my roommate knew this because I told him this. I said, I feel like I don't belong here. I feel like an imposter. And, you know, he was very kind when I told him those things, but then when we got in a fight, he told me that, you know, like, you know, and I know, sort of a thing, that you should have never gotten into grad school. Like, he used that against me. He's like, you didn't even really plan. You didn't really care about your education. He's like, you shouldn't have gotten into this program.
What did you do that he brought this up that hurt
Honestly,
you?
Honestly, it's such a long, convoluted story. And because it was kind of really painful, I feel like I've blocked out a lot of the memories. But it was a horrible living situation for the better part of a year. We were not on speaking terms for about a year, and I couldn't leave because, number one, I was on the lease, and number two, it was the polar vortex of 2013, 2014. That winter, it was the worst winter that Detroit had seen in 130 years. So I was dealing with negative 10 degree weather outside. I wasn't about to go house hunting.
Did you spurn his advances?
There was one time where he suggested something. There was no actual physical attempt.
Yeah.
But then this transpired probably like a year later. So I don't know if it was festering, but it just completely unraveled, whatever. And he said that thing to me, and I mean, I was devastated. I was absolutely devastated because I really valued his opinion, and his opinion was that you should have never gotten into grad school. You weren't good enough to get into grad school.
See, that feels like hurt my feelings, not offended, though.
I mean, to me, in that moment, it felt like both. It felt like both because he had deliberately said that to hurt my feelings and cut me deep because he knew what my insecurities were. I felt offended. That was a moment when I felt offended. Now, if he was like a stranger and I didn't know him and he's like, you should have never gotten in, I wouldn't have cared. But because he knew that and used it against me, I feel like those are the only instances when me, Anna Hummel, is able to get offended. Mm. If I see a stranger walking down the road dressed as a Holocaust survivor or Anne Frank, or I'm just thinking of Jewish stuff right now, but you know, that would never, ever offend me. Like, I don't care what that person thinks, does, believes, anything. I might, what I look at is I'll see that and I'll go, wow, that's a really bad idea.
It's trash. I'll be like, that's trash. You're trash.
Yeah, you're trash, but I'm not offended. It's really just like, you're so stupid. Like, that's a horrible idea.
I'm bothered by almost everything, okay. But I'm not offended. I don't think I've ever been offended by anything. I got my feelings hurt like you. You know, when somebody says something that is maybe true, uh-huh. either that you confided in them and used it against you,
uh-huh.
or they just picked it out. You know, some people are good at picking out your insecurities. They just know what to do.
Okay.
There was these kids in high school that were just giving me crap, you know, just being mean teenagers. And one of them said, it's funny because it's true, that I look like one of the Koopas troopers.
I know. I pulled up the picture.
From Mario Brothers, the movie. And I was like, damn, that one stings a little bit because I do kind of have a tiny head for my body. And that's something I'm insecure about. And they just nailed me. Mm-hmm. So that one hurt my feelings, but I wasn't offended by it, you know. I was like, damn, that's good. I appreciate that joke. That's pretty funny. But it also hurts me deeply.
I looked up the definition of offended. It says resentful or annoyed, typically as a result of a perceived insult.
Oh, well, that's getting your feelings hurt.
Right. So I suppose if you can get your feelings hurt, if someone doesn't mean to say something, you know, insulting, but it is insulting to you. Like, oh, you look really healthy, for example. If you say to an anorexic person, oh, you look so much better. You've gained weight. You look healthy. You know, that could maybe hurt your feelings because they said you gained weight. But if they said you look fat, or, you know, something that is, it's perceived as an insult, you know the other person is trying to hurt your feelings.
Right.
I think that's where offended differs from just getting your feelings hurt.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, who says that you cannot be offended? There's so many different things that could make people offended, depending on what it is. There's not a border, or like a thing that's offensive to everybody.
Sure.
Right? So it's different things are going to be offensive. How do you know? How do you test the waters there? The only safe way is to not even bother.
I'm so glad you asked, William. Because I was watching CBS News the other day, and they had this exact question posed. What should you do when it comes? They were talking about Halloween costumes. What should you do and what should you not do? And what is the rule of thumb that you should follow? And here's what they said.
Historically, right?
Right.
That should not be people one shade darker than you.
Okay, so for a lot of people, though, they're not going to know the history of the sort of thing. They're not going to know why blackface is off. Is it good enough just to sort of use the rule of thumb that if it offends someone else, maybe you should not bother?
Well, there's always somebody who's going to be offended by something, right?
So,
thank you, liberal woman. At least she has some sense. Like, she's like, everybody's going to be offended by something. You can't please everybody.
Who's this lady that gets to decide how the rest of us act? Who gave this woman the authority and power?
Well, her name is Suzanne Scafidi, and she's the founder and director of Fashion Law Institute. William?
What the hell is that?
Okay. She continues.
So that might be a little bit broad of a rule, but certainly you should step back, and if someone is offended, learn why they're offended. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you can make an informed decision as opposed to a decision out of ignorance.
Right. It's a Google search away.
That's
absolutely
right.
And that,
yeah, that's really stupid. But okay, I kind of understand what she's saying. You can say, okay, sir or ma'am, why are you offended by this? And then you can do an investigation, and then you can determine if they should or should not be offended by whatever you wore for Halloween.
So you're going to have 100 different conversations with people about your Halloween costume and explain your intent and the context of all these things. Give me a break. Just be like, if you don't like it, just be like, oh, that person is an ass. And then you just move on with your life.
Yeah,
and you don't have to interact with them.
No.
Freedom of association. You don't want to speak to that person. You're offended. You think that they're certain things. Guess what? You don't have to deal with them. Yeah. You just walk away and go about your life.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know what's going to happen to our culture. I'm really terrified, frankly. But we'll see. You know, we won't have to worry about this until next year. Now, until next Halloween, then we'll have to talk about this crap all over again. But that has been the Homemade Broadcast for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you'll come back again next Sunday or on podcast anytime at hmbradio.com. Download the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, leave a rating for the podcast. And if you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned because Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next. Indie Circuit after that. And if you're listening on pod, thanks, man or lady. I love you. I'll see you tomorrow or next week. Or if you see me tomorrow, just say, hey, man, high five. And I'll give you a high five. My name is Will Koontz. This has been the Homemade Broadcast. This is HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Have a good one. Talk to you later. I don't blame you much for wanting to be free. I just wanted you to know. You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.